One of the great American poets, Emily Dickinson, came from a quirky family. Now, I know that seems to be redundant because most of our families are a little quirky. We all have our kind of little idiosyncrasies that are part of the family. But her dad was really eccentric. There was one evening, about 6 o'clock, just around the time the sun was setting, when all of a sudden Mr. Dickerson rang the fire bell for the town. You know what happens in those small towns, fire bell. They drop napkins, they get up from the places where they're eating and they run basically to that town square. And there was Mr. Dickerson pointing out to the sunset and said, "I didn't want anyone to miss this beautiful sunset." Of course, they shook their head and said, "Delirious Dickerson, you know, what a nut." I say that and I bring that kind of message in is because when we're dealing with the prophet, we're dealing with Jeremiah's prophet, and we're dealing with literally Jesus in terms of his prophetic role. And part of the prophet is the urgency that the prophet has. He wants immediately everyone to pay attention. He wants to pull everybody in to basically the vision that he is seeing, that's been given to him by God as a message. That vision. That's not uncommon, at least on a smaller level for almost any of us. When we behold something in terms of beauty or truth or a presentation, what's the first thing we do? We want to pick up that phone. We want to call family and friends. We want to share it. You've got to see this movie. You've got to hear this person who's delivering an address. You've got to do it. Why? Because there's a compelling aspect to the recognition of the beauty, the goodness, and the truth that demands to be shared. Go out, pull people into it. The prophet, and let me contextualize the prophet for you, because most of the time our modern, I have to say it again and again, our modern concepts of prophecy or prophetic is looking to the future. No. The prophet is the one who looks to the present. And especially in the Old Testament prophets, you have those entrusted by God with the message. And what is that message? Look at your community. It's not in line with God. It's apart from the covenant. Is that in line? So you, prophet, you bring them in line. You go there and you tell them. And you know what? People do not like to hear the fact they're not in line. They're in their own aspect of complacency. They found their niche. They go from day to day in terms of the routine. And they don't want to be told that you're not living the life that God wants you to lead. They don't want to be told that you have to make the sacrifices in order to manifest yourself before God. Jeremiah, the very first prophet that we encounter in today's first reading, was an individual who tremendously had a sacrifice. He was always talking to God, fighting a little bit with God, you know, questioning him, saying this, "You want me to do this?" And you would think that the prophet's reward would be God would hold him up in exaltation, but constantly Jeremiah was rebuked by his family. You know, they threw him into a cistern. You know, most of us would never like to do that. You know, then beaten, taken into exile. In all probability, although not recorded in scripture, he probably died a martyr's death, proclaiming his faithfulness to his God. This is Jeremiah. But the urgency and the faithfulness that Jeremiah had was the fact that he was the messenger entrusted with God to help his community, to bring them back to the relationship of the covenant that was established. We come and take a look at Jesus. Obviously, Jesus in the gospel, in terms of the prophetic, comes in and makes that announcement in the scripture. And he does so as a teacher, because we have Jesus sitting. And when suddenly the rabbi was sitting, he was teaching. And what does he teach? He's teaching from the prophets. And he announces that everything that the prophets were talking about in aligning with God and the righteousness of God is now fulfilled in your hearing. What's the hearing? The hearing of the pronouncement of Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, now pronouncing to people, this is it. This is it. The fulfillment. Recognize it. Embrace it. And of course, it's very hard for people who are caught in their fixed ideas, fixed ways of God's manifestation to break away from that. This is the kid that grew up in the neighborhood. And now he's coming back and proclaiming the kingdom, the fulfillment of the prophets. You imagine what type of suddenly consternation happened within basically that community when Jesus pronounced and declared that. And then Jesus even goes a little further and says, hey, remember that God's manifestation does not only come to the Israelite community. And then he points out through the great prophet Elijah, who is the greatest of all the prophets, points out through Elijah that Elijah did a couple things. He worked a miracle for the widow who was without food, because she was able from her heart of hearts to give what little was left to share with the prophet. And God's generosity and benevolence made sure that she was not without food during the time of a famine for a year when others were starving. And those who were part even of the covenantal relationship. And then the second one he points out is Naaman the Syrian. A Syrian. At times an enemy of Israelite. Of the Israelite. Comes and is cured of leprosy. And there are other lepers in the Israelite community. But Elijah comes and cures. Elijah cures Naaman the Syrian. Demonstration on the part of Jesus that the Word, this Word that is proclaimed and fulfilled, not only is a manifestation and a fulfillment for the covenant, the chosen of Israel, but also for those within the hearing of the pronouncement of the Word. Those who open up their hearts. Now, we can see immediately in those two passages, we can see the prophetic. Yeah, it's very evident. We can see the prophetic. It's very evident. But all of a sudden we come to Paul and say, what is this reading doing in the midst of the prophetic? I can tell you as a priest for 40 years, working with married couples or engaged couples as they come in to be married and they will choose their wedding homilies, you probably can count that 80% of the time you will hear pronounced at their wedding this first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. You'll hear that. But let me venture to say that the view on the part of the couple limits this reading because they think of it as an expression of their love for one another. Actually, it's an expression of the Christian love which should be found in every aspect of our being. Actually, what it is this is a statement of the manifestation of the love of God. This patron of the cathedral, in his gospel, defined God as love. And the manifestation of the purity of that love, we suddenly find here in Paul. And what Paul was saying here in this passage, what was being inferred, is Paul was living an aspect of what he thought was faithful to God, but it wasn't until he encountered God's mercy on that great road and transformed himself to begin to be challenged to live as Christ. The prophetic aspect of this is that we are given a vision of what really love is and what love should be and why we as Christians are to manifest this aspect of love. And when we do, things change, things happen in our community. When we see immediately in the lives of the saints and those really wonderful people around us who manifest a generous heart for God's love and attempt to incorporate in their lives, we see how things change. They're transformed. And why are they transformed? Transformed because suddenly we are seeing a manifestation of God's presence among us. Through the work, through the generosity, through the sense, through the patience, through the kindness, through the forgiving. Just go right down the line here and you will see at the heart of it, God. God. For God is love. And the one who abides in God abides in love. So we see this in terms of Paul's presentation. So what is it doing plopped down in the middle between two almost prophetic gospel and a prophetic Old Testament prophet? What we are seeing is we're seeing a fulfillment in a prophetic text by Paul of how we should live our lives. And you know, when we listen and we really kind of meditate on this, then I hope we catch a fire. You know, I hope we ring a bell and we call everybody's attention to the love of God in our lives, that we want to draw people in to that love, which is not our love, but a love that's given to us in an understanding of God's presence in our lives. And when we have that vision, and we ring that bell, and we proclaim God's love in the beauty that we see in the world, in the goodness that's manifested for us, in the truth that's held out for us. In the truth that's held up for us. Faith, hope, and love remain. These three. But the greatest of these is love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.